This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
This is Mason Vera Payne, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. When it comes to taking pictures nowadays, everybody's go-to device is their camera phone. So, are camera phones better than a digital camera? And how does digital cameras measure up to a camera phone? Joining me to explain these things and more is B&H Senior Photo Sales Trainer, Levy Tenenbaum. Thanks for joining me, Levy.
My pleasure.
When it comes to cameras, there are a lot of articles out right now that say your smartphone is equal to or better than getting a digital camera. Do you think that's true?
I would love to see those articles. I don't. I really think it comes down to how you're defining better. More convenient? Yeah, it's in your pocket. But better as far as quality and what a camera can offer you, I don't think there's any argument there.
What can a camera offer you that like a cell phone couldn't? Because when you use your cell phone, you have all kinds of different apps that can actually kind of enhance your photos already that, you know, a camera can't do, or can they?
You have a lot of convenience on a cell phone. It's something that you're used to working with. The UI is beautiful, as you know, if you're an Apple user and even an Android user, you have a beautiful UI, everything you're already used to. The core, though, is very different. When you get down to the guts of what a camera is, and like you asked me before that it's a digital camera, well, everything's a digital camera. Your cell phone's a digital camera, and so is most of the cameras that you're going to see on the market right now. They're all a digital sensor, and then you put optics or lenses in front of that, and that's how pretty much we make images. Put a shutter down, and you know we capture the amount of light coming in, and that's your final recording of an image. When we talk about the differences that you'd find between a cell phone and a actual camera, whether it's a more compact style camera, kind of like a point and shoot style, or even going into super zooms or even into higher end type of systems, the core and the guts of a camera is the sensor. And a cell phone sensor is so small and so tiny that as soon as you start seeing the quality differences between that and even a one step up, which is already about 2 to 3 times the size of the cell phone, plus that you have a dedicated lens system, which is not a flat array similar to what we have in cell phones, but you have an actual either lens that can zoom or even super zoom, it's a different planet.
Okay, so let's say someone's been on Instagram a lot and they've been using their camera, their phone for their camera, but they're like, hey, I want to up my game. But they can't afford like those $800, $900 cameras. So what could you buy camera-wise that you can build onto?
Right, so there's a couple different ways to go with that, right? So someone wants to Instagram. We see a lot of vloggers right now using the RX100 series from Sony, and that series pretty much starting from the beginning has just really revolutionized the point-and-shoot market. It's a very simple camera to use, very easy, so not super complicated, yet offers you all the control and benefits of a 1-inch sensor. So it's going to be pretty decent in low light. You have a very good lens. The aperture on the lens is able to open up very wide, which gives that more professional type of look where you have what we'd call bokeh in the background, where pretty much the background becomes blurry and your subject is really sharp. So you kind of get that separation, which is what a lot of people are looking for. iPhone 7 Plus has this as a kind of added kind of filter to their phone, but their phone doesn't do it as well as a sensor and lens setup that's specifically made to do this. So that's like a starting point where you can invest pretty much. Canon has, I think, the G9X in that range also, about $500 to kind of get started. And if you really wanted to take the jump over to a system camera, something where you can buy new lenses and really grow within photography, there are a lot of options. The market at that range, and I want to say the $400 to $600 range, has a lot of options, whether or not you're going with a used better camera or an entry-level mirrorless or SLR type camera. There's a lot to do there.
I was just thinking of like on Amazon, I have a Canon G20 camcorder, and I can just change out the lens for that. Or am I doing it wrong? Or should I be like making only Canon lenses onto it, and I shouldn't just be buying off any knockoff for it?
I'm looking up your G20 right now because I want to see what it is.
It's a camcorder. And that was another thing I wanted to talk about, too, is now that camcorders, they can take still pictures. Could you just invest into a camcorder instead of a camera, and it would work just as fine? Or am I just thinking
right,
too simplistic?
Okay, so firstly, let's start with the G20. So the G20 already is a one lens system. So any lens that you're putting on there is an adapter type lens. So it's similar to putting a lens on top of your cell phone, where your lens already exists on your cell phone.
Yeah.
And then let's say you add another lens, whether it's a Zeiss lens or an Olie clip or a Moment lens. They're all going over an existing optic because no one's replacing the actual lens that's over your sensor, which is pretty much the camera that's on the back of your phone or the front of your phone. Same thing is with your G20, where your lens already exists. Anything that you're putting on top of that is just adding another layer to it. When I talk about interchangeable lenses, I'm talking about a camera where you actually remove the entire lens unit.
Oh, wow.
And put a different lens in there. So you're on a G20, I would say if you start looking at something like a C100 or C100 Mark II and you start getting into the more professional arena, that's where you're able to start changing lenses for camcorders. When we look at photo market, at already about $400, $450, you're also able to do that. And that adds a lot of versatility to a system. So you can buy, one of the things that we always recommend to customers is don't always buy the best camera that your money can afford, but buy the best lenses that your money can afford, because the lenses will go with you from camera to camera as long as you're staying within a compatible camera mount. So if you're on a Canon system and you want to invest in Canon glass, you can then upgrade your camera in a year or two and your lens will go with you. And that's part of the beauty of lenses. People use lenses nowadays on very modern cameras that are over 100 years old, because glass is glass and there's a unique look that those lenses bring to the photography that they're doing.
Oh, wow. That's actually really cool. I didn't think that that was even possible, putting something new on something that old.
Oh, that's the amazingness of it. It's an optic that, without getting into all the physics of it, but essentially it's taking a scene in front of you and pointing it down to a pinpoint where the sensor can then translate it into an image. As far as camcorders being able to record still images, I want to say this really depends on what someone is doing. So if your priority is to take a whole bunch of video and then maybe pull a still image from it for Instagram or just like a quick web banner or something, you may be very fine like using your G20 and pulling a 2 or 3 or 4 megapixel image from it. But if your priority is photography or very high resolution images, the camcorders that are going to allow you to do that are in the $50,000 range. There's nothing really very cheap that's going to allow you to pull a very high resolution, very good image that would have the dynamic range and the quality that we usually look for when we look at still images. And my recommendation would actually be the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a really good SLR or mirrorless type camera, because the video functionality in these cameras right now is tremendous. There are systems that will shoot 4K. There are systems that will shoot 1080 in very high bit rates and into very good codecs to enhance one's dynamic range. And it's almost like the camcorder market on the lower end is in an interesting place now, where they really are being challenged by the fact that SLRs and mirrorless cameras shoot tremendous quality video.
Some of that I got and some of it I didn't get, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, sorry. No worries.
No, you know what it is? It's with the way social media is, you start off with like your cell phone and you kind of don't know where to jump into next, because you know you want to up your game, right?
Right?
And I think that's what it is. It's like, do you think that there is like a way to up your game by slowly interjecting yourself into like the camera portion of it? Like, what
Absolutely.
Camera is like a baby camera I could buy that won't break the bank, but I definitely can like dip my toe into the pool of cameras?
Right. So this what I would say is this would depend how you want to dip your toe in. So one way to dip your toe in is just to buy a self-sufficient system and just be like, hey, I'm never planning on traveling with 3 or 4 lenses at a time. I want a very simple camera I can slip in my purse, my backpack. I can go anywhere with it. It can fit in my pocket. And it's going to take really decent quality images, but it's not too big. It's not bulky. It's not getting in my way. When I think of taking this with me somewhere, I'm not afraid to bring it with me. You know, because I'm not worried about having a second backpack or a sling bag or anything extra. It's a nice, small, compact system. And for that, I would very much encourage people to look at things like the Canon G9 or the Sony RX100 series. The G9X or the G7X from Canon are in the $400 to, I want to say, $800 range. The Sony RX100 series if you go back a couple generations, you can get it for about $500. It's an excellent system to get involved. It has a very good sensor size, and the bang for your buck is there. It's a really solid system. If someone wanted to get invested into an actual system as far as being able to have multiple lenses, they really want to, you know, geek out in the technical parts of it and really invest in having the most creative control, then there are so many entry-level offerings from every other major camera manufacturers. A lot of it then comes down to look, like how do you want the camera to look or how do you want it to feel? And, I mean, every major camera manufacturer has something, whether it's Canon with the T6 series, or if you go back a generation, you look at T5, Nikon with the D35, 3600, the list just goes on. Sony with all their mirrorless offerings. Sony's really doing a lot of interesting stuff in the market right now, and their mirrorless offerings are excellent. It's a great time to be in the camera market because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on.
I can see that because it's, again, with the social media, it kind of opened it up. You would think that it would have hindered cameras, really, but it doesn't look like it is. If anything, it looks like digital cameras or compact cameras, they're just kind of exploding. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on now.
Yeah, there's a lot. Like, I'm just looking at our website right now, and I just typed in Sony mirrorless just to see what the first hit would be. And what came up is an A5000. So this camera is a couple generations old, but it's $380. And for that, you're getting a 20-megapixel camera on a decent sensor size. So it's not a full frame, so it's not going to be 35-millimeter equivalent. It's going to have it's going to be a slightly smaller sensor than what we think of when we think back to the days of film. But it's going to have your built-in Wi-Fi connectivity. It's going to have NFC. It's going to have low-light capabilities. Its autofocus is going to be great. You're going to have the ability to kind of use any of the Sony lens offerings or third-party Sony lens offerings. So if you wanted to get a unique look or something like that, it's a tremendous way to get in. And that's only $380.
Yeah.
You know, just to get started. Obviously, you could get the big brother, you know, the A6500, which is a $1,400 camera. Within that, there's so much to do, and it's like I would highly recommend, you know, going to a local camera store or calling up a camera store and just talking to the different sales staff to get a feel for really what's the best option for you.
I'm kind of glad you said megapixels, because that's something you've seen for so long is like megapixels. What is exactly a megapixel?
Megapixel is essentially a little dot which records the image. At this point in time, and this is going to be a controversial statement coming up, megapixels have kind of become moot. They're kind of done. Like people will still tout like highest megapixel counts, and you'll see cameras that are aimed at just being the highest resolution possible. But at a certain stage, megapixels for most people don't really matter anymore. So once we're hitting 16 or 20 megapixels, you pretty much have the resolution that you need for 90% of stuff that you're doing. What I would recommend more than looking at megapixels is I would look at things like ISO sensitivity. How well will my camera perform in a low-light situation, right? If I'm not bringing a flash with me, or if I want to photograph in a bar, or if I'm going on vacation somewhere and I want to photograph the lighting on the Eiffel Tower, you know, how well is my camera going to be able to capture that? How many ranges between pure black and pure white can my camera capture? That's the dynamic range on the camera. So when I'm going outdoors and I'm hiking on top of, if I'm hiking on a mountain and, you know, like there's this beautiful sunlight that's kind of grazing across and there's like these deep dark shadows, but there's this golden light, and then I try to capture a picture of it with the clouds in the sky, am I going to have detail throughout that entire image? That's one of the first places someone could go to on Instagram to see whether or not something was shot on a real camera or on a cell phone, because a cell phone image is going to break down very quickly when you start looking at these high contrasts.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think like, yeah. Oh, that's actually really cool, because I know me being kind of a novice, I do look at the megapixels like, oh, the higher number, the better. The ISO sensitivity, I'm really going to keep an eye out for that.
I don't mean this in a negative way, but, you know, manufacturers always have to find a way to, you know, promote or plug the next greatest thing, you know, as a new lineup comes out. So educating oneself on what this means and what the realities are is very important.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you talking about this subject. I think a lot of people are going to be very interested in knowing about their cameras.
For anyone who's listening to this, one of the great things about our company and something that really gains us a lot of respect in the industry is that we are not paid commission. So we all have our hourly type salaries or whatever it is, and we're paid to really make sure that you get the best product for what you need. So when you come in, yes, you know, we want to make a sale, of course, but if we feel that what we're offering or what we have available doesn't fit you, we will let you know that. And that is something that the company very much promotes, is that we should have that kind of transparency. We should have that. We should have an opinion on what you need, and we should be able to direct you in the right direction. But if we can't offer that, you know, I'm not on commission. I get to give you the right advice more than making the sale right now. We're into lifetime customers. You know, if I recommend you go to a competitor because that's the best thing, you will always remember that, and you will trust me. And that's what works.
For those who are listening that are interested in cameras and other electronics, visit bnh.com. That's bandh.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to wgnradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.